Good evening. Before we get into the lesson text, I'd like to cover a little bit of the background, and we'll begin in 1 Samuel 4. In 1 Samuel 4, the Israelites and the Philistines are engaged in battle. And in the first phase of it, the Philistines have defeated the Israelites. Picking up in verse 3, "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today? Before the Philistines, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." The ark of the covenant fell into the hands of the Philistines at this time. Now, as we move into chapter 5, we find that the Philistines didn't want the ark of the covenant very long. For about 7 months, they had it in their possession. First, they put it before their god Dagon. We see this in the very first part of chapter 5. Twice they put it before the god. The first time he fell on his face before the ark. The second night, when they came back, he had fell on his face and his head and his palms were cut off. Then the men of Ashdod, they were stricken with hemorrhoids. Now, some believe these were hemorrhoidal tumors, but it more likely it was a bubonic plague. Many men were slain in Ashdod. So they moved the ark. They moved it to Gath. Once again, God smote the men of Gath with hemorrhoids in their private parts. They didn't want the ark there either. So they moved it on to Ekron. Those folks didn't want it when it was coming. But it came anyway, and God slew many men there as well. So by the time we get to 1 Samuel 6, the Philistines have decided, we need to get rid of this. After 7 months, all it has done is brought misery to us. It was a great treasure when we took it from the Israelites. But it has brought woe and misery to us. Let's get rid of it. I want to pay attention to verses 7 through 9 in chapter 6, how the Philistines were going to move it. Beginning at verse 7. "Now therefore, make a new cart, and take two milch kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which you return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." They were going to take the ark and set it on a brand new cart, one that had never been used, and they were going to allow basically two cows upon which a yoke had never come before, and they had calves to lead that cart away. And this is what they did, and these cows led that cart away. Their calves were bawling. And the cows never turned their head to the left or to the right. They just went straight ahead. So the Philistines knew that God had smote them. And this is how the ark went away. And so when we come to verse 13, The ark comes to Beth Shemesh, but it brings woe unto these people as well, for they opened the ark and looked into it. And 50,070 men died because of that. So by verse 21, they call those at Kirjath-Jearim to come get the ark. And so in 1 Samuel 7 and 1, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. This is where the ark stayed for the next 70 years. Through the 40-year reign of Saul and approximately 10 years into the reign of David. And this takes us to our text, 2 Samuel 6. In 2 Samuel 6, by this time, worship in Israel has declined. And David is now turning his attention to the organization and worship. And he intends to fetch the ark to Jerusalem. He has set up a tent, which he will put the ark, so that Israel may again begin to worship God, that they may turn their mind to spiritual items. And so beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" When we read this passage, we often focus on Uzzah, that he stretched forth his hand and touched the ark and was killed by God. And he was killed by God because of his disobedience. But there is something much more important at play here. Because you see, David was the one who was leading this mission. David, when he set everything up, completely out of character for him, failed to consult God on how he should do this. You see, God had set forth back in Exodus 25, 12 through 14, how the ark was to be made. It was to have rings in each of the four corners, and there were to be staves of shittim wood that were to be used to carry the ark. And then we turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8, and we see that it was the tribe of Levi. And in fact, if we study more, it was the family of Kohath that was to bear the ark. David could have consulted this, and he would have known how to carry the ark. And another way he could have consulted God. You see, Abiathar, who had escaped at Nob with the slaughter of the priest, he had the Urim and Thurim with him in the ephod. It was a way to access God. David used this time after time after time in seeking God's advice. But he didn't do it this time. David failed to consult God on how he should move the ark from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem. In fact, the way he moved it was much more like the Philistines. So that brings the question to us. When we consider things in our own lives, when we consider the worship of the congregation, we consider the things that we do as a congregation, when we consider even the finite things of our own lives, dancing, modesty, swimming, what entertainment choices are we going to make? Where are we going to go on vacation? Do we ever consult the Word of God? This is a prime example that says we should. When David did not consult the word of God, a man died because of it. Yes, Uzzah is still responsible for his own actions because Josephus indicates that he was a Kohathite and he should have known better. He's still responsible, but David was the one who was the leader. He was leading the mission. We must consult the word of God for everything that we do, rather than just going willy-nilly and thinking it's okay because this is what I want to do. The Word of God is the ultimate authority in every facet of our lives. And you see, we can look at what David did after this. Beginning at verse 10. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obededom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obededom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obededom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obededom and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obededom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. You see, in that 3 month period in which the ark had been set aside and David had gone back to Jerusalem, he consulted how it was to be carried from that house unto Jerusalem, because those men, they were now bearing the ark. They didn't put it on a new cart. They stuck those staves in that ark and they carried it. See, David got a second chance to lead the mission the right way. He didn't consult God the first time, and it blew up in his face. It was disastrous for him. When he went back and consulted God, he did it the right way. We have every opportunity. If we've not consulted God on how we've lived our lives, on how we've conducted ourselves, we have that opportunity to go back, open the Word of God, consult it, and see how God wants us to conduct ourselves, and then to live that way. If you're here tonight, have you consulted the Word of God in how you became a Christian? You see, God lays it out for us. Romans 10:17 tells us that we must hear the Word of God in order to believe it. And that Mark 16:15-16 tells us we must believe. Luke 13:3 tells us that if we don't repent, we will perish. And Matthew 10:32 tells us, Jesus says that if we will confess Him before men, He will confess us in heaven. Verse 33, however, tells us, He says that if we deny Him, then He will deny us before the Father. Acts 2:38 tells us, on that day of Pentecost, that those men there asked, What shall we do to be saved? And Peter told them in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then those in Revelations who were facing great persecution, they were told, Be faithful. Be faithful even unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. That's the plan for us. That's consulting God's word on how we are to come to Him and obey His will. As a Christian, have you stepped away from His will? We can open the Word of God again and see how we can come back to Him. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. Those folks at Corinth repented. Paul pushed them to repent. And they did, and he was very joyous because of it. We must repent of the sins that we've committed. And 1 John 1:6-9 tells us we must confess. We must confess those sins before God. And He's just, and He will forgive us of those things. This is how God's laid it out for us. If you've not done these things, if you've not done it according to God's will, how He has set forth for us to do it, I'd urge you, come tonight and do it the way God wants it done, as we stand and as we sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road Congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.